Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Monday morning. It is the week of the NFL draft. And to help us talk more about that, we head to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in our man Corey Curtis to the program from News 2. Corey, good morning. How are you?
I am blended, Robert. How are you today?
Awesome. Even better knowing that this week is the NFL draft, and the draft talk can finally stop after that, and we will get there, and there will actually be selections to discuss. I'm very excited about it, Corey.
Yeah, we need to move this thing up a few weeks.
I agree. Get this thing going.
Yeah, but
they're not
going
to do it. But
that's just more Mount Rushmore sports radio talk after it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you're right.
I'm okay stretching things a little bit, but yeah, we're ready. We're all ready.
Okay.
He said okay. So Corey, what do you make of the idea of moving back if you're the Tennessee Titans, which Jeremy Fowler seems to think that the Titans are open to doing at number 4 overall?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think they are. I think, you know, if anything Borgo says was true from the other day, you know, I kind of feel like they'd like to move back, but I don't think they want to move out of the top 10. I think they'd still like to get what they view as an impact player. And I don't know that they can do that outside of the top 10. I mean, if the Cowboys come with 12-20, that's really attractive. but, you know, the Chiefs have 9-29. And I think that would certainly be attractive. You know, if they wanted to move up and get that, you could still get your hands on a very good player at 9. You know, but I think if you could move back to 5 or 6 for some reason, I think that would also be great. But, you know, who's willing to make the move? And I don't know. From what he said, I don't know how much taste they have for moving outside of the top 10. So that'll be interesting. But, I mean, they still need a lot of players, but they also need impact players.
So of those two scenarios, yeah, maybe you've already – I mean, I think you're right with the Titans, but 9-29, 12-20. Assume you'd rather have 9-29?
Yes.
And let's say you're there. Let's say you're there and Carnell Tate and Reuben Bain are both there.
Yep.
Is it easy for you?
Very.
Who are you going with?
I'll take Reuben Bain.
Oh,
that's not where I thought you were going.
I didn't either. I actually thought you were going to say, yeah, it's very easy. You're taking the receiver. Reuben Bain, okay.
No, I'm going to take Reuben Bain because I think Reuben Bain's an impact player. I mean, I know he's an outlier, but put the tape on. Just put the tape on and watch him go. I mean, it's like turning a T-Rex loose at a buffet table. I mean, come on. So –
A notably short-armed animal.
Yeah, very good use of T-Rex.
I like it.
A notably short-armed predator. But the other thing is I still feel at 29 I can get a pretty good receiver. I mean, and I don't love Tate like some people do. You know, I actually might like Mekhi Lemon more. But
ding, ding,
like,
ding.
If I could get Denzel Boston at 29 and Reuben Bain at 9, I would be ecstatic.
Is it bad for me? We may have talked about this before. Like, I want, if they draft a receiver based on how their receiving room looks at the moment. I mean, look, I want a good receiver, so I guess I don't really care, you know, how that comes. But, like, I look at their receiving room right now, Corey, and to me they need, like, a 6'4 dude. They need a bigger guy in there, which actually goes right in line with what you just said.
Yeah, and, you know, and that's why I like Denzel Boston, but I also think that there's the possibility to wait till round 3 and get a Jacoby Lane or Ted Hurst out of Georgia State. Those guys are both like 6'5", and I think those guys are both good value at 66. If you can't go receiver, like if you decide to go, you know, if you hold on to your picks and you decide to go like Love at 4 and Edge at 35 or Guard at 35, You could take one of those guys at 66.
Well, along the tall receiver front, are you pro or anti or somewhere in the middle on Chris Brazel? It seems a little polarizing, probably just because of the offense more than anything.
You know, I'm kind of indifferent. You know, If they took him at 35, that might seem a little bit high. But I mean, he's a big guy. He's 6'5". He's over 200 pounds. He did produce last year. He had 1,000 yards and I think 9 touchdowns.
He ran a sub-4.4, right?
Yeah, and he runs really well. So I mean, it would be hard to argue with. You know, for whatever reason, he slid a little since the draft. The talk kind of started, but he certainly has. He has the tape and he has the numbers to look like a good receiver. I think that is one of the things that's hurting him is the Tennessee receiver knock right now. I mean, just like, you know, Pavia being 5'9", you know, obviously hurts him. But if Pavia went to Alabama, I think he'd get drafted a lot higher.
So, Corey, when you look at Thursday night, you know, we've talked about Love ad nauseum at this point, and yeah. You know, obviously, I think a lot of Titans fans would be happy if that's the way that it goes. When you look at that, if Love is who they end up with at number 4 overall, what's kind of the baseline of expectation that you think should be fair for him heading into this season, knowing what you know about him and knowing what you know about the state of this team and this roster?
Well, I think it's the same expectation you have for anybody that you draft 4th overall, that they're a dominant player. I mean, that's what I expect him to be. I expect him to be a difference maker. I expect him to be a guy who can make a 20-yard run and an 80-yard run. I expect him to be a 3-down player. I don't expect a lot of holes in his game. So, I mean, I would have high expectations. You know, the offensive line obviously has to produce. It did at the end of last season. I know there's only 3/5 of that group are back yet so far. So we have to see how they replace it. But other teams have replaced linemen before. And so I'm not, I certainly would not use that as an excuse. The thing that I make drafting him different than like Ashton Jeanty, or, you know, some people have complained, well, you can't do it now, which I think is a stupid excuse, is they've got a quarterback. And, you know, you've got the quarterback, you can take a running back if you want. You really can. I mean, nobody has a problem with Washington drafting him at 7 to pair him with Jaden Daniels. They think that's a great idea. Like Jaden Daniels hasn't been sacked 130 times in the last 2 years.
So there's, you know, the Schefter, or to some Scheffler. This Cardinals Love thing, yeah. Which I find a little weird. But if you're the Titans, and that to me obviously would make it possible, or if they take the tackle, it's the same thing, but make it possible that one of these edge guys would be there for the Titans. You could pick which one would be there for the Titans, the clear producer in David Bailey, the Parsons compared more upside but only 1 year college player in Arvell Reese, who would you choose?
I'd choose Bailey. I want more proof of product, and there's more proof of product there. I mean, he's also, I think, a little bit bigger of a guy. He's very smart. I think he graduated Stanford in 3 years. And I just think, you know, to play on the 4-3, you know, because I view Reese as more of a linebacker, and Bailey is more of an edge. And I could be wrong on that, but that's where I'm at on that. I think he's a better fit, and I like the proven production. I do.
What did you make of the Giants trading and acquiring another top 10 pick for Dexter Lawrence from the Bengals?
Well done. I mean, they gave up the 10th pick of the draft to give a guy a 1-year extension.
Yeah.
And a guy coming off the worst year of his career where he had a half sack. It's a terrible trade for Cincinnati. Terrible trade. I'm not against trading for Dexter Lawrence and giving him a 1-year extension, but for the 10th pick of the draft, you better get a heck of a lot more than that. That is a steal from the New York Giants. They probably laughed as soon as they hung up the phone.
A notoriously cheap organization giving up, you know, a key player that you have on a rookie deal to. I mean, he better blot out the sun, right? Like, I mean,
yeah.
Like, oh my gosh, I wonder what Joe Burrow thinks.
Look, let me put it to you this way. I mean, you know, what if somebody gave the Titans, you know, say the Chiefs gave them the 9th pick, for like, say Jeff was on the last year of his deal, and they gave him Jeff on it for the 9th overall pick, you know, would that be okay?
I mean, it'd be better than what we – like, I think you hit on the bad part of this. It's like Dexter Lawrence just wasn't very good this past year. And it's like, oh, God, well, no, okay.
He was playing hurt. I understand.
He was.
And before that, he was very good. But the other thing is he's more of a nose.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you that's a lot for a nose tackle, you know. And,
I mean, if you have a great one, that can make everybody's job easier. But, yeah, he's been around a little bit now.
But, you know, you can – like you said, I mean, this. If it was the 25th pick, yeah,
right,
sure. But even then, I mean, you got him for 2 years. 2 years. It's a terrible trade.
It's a Joe Burrow window. I mean, that does make you think. Like, what is Jeff worth? You know, if Dexter's worth that, yeah. Like, man.
Yeah. Well, yeah. By the way, you haven't asked me about this, and maybe you were. How concerning is it that the Titans are now picking up Skaronski's fifth-year option instead of an extension, which Borgo clearly made clear they wanted to do at the combine?
Yeah, I mean, you could pick it up and then still work out an extension.
Right?
But, yeah, like I think clearly they probably would have liked to have had that done by now. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're significantly apart if that's what they're doing.
Yeah. Yeah, but, yeah, I guess you never know how it'll go. But you definitely see that, though, right? Picking up the option and then it's,
sure.
then you get down to the nitty-gritty and, okay, now you make it happen.
I guess also it's a way of just, you know, buying yourself some more time. But I just, man, I thought this thing was going to be done 3 weeks ago.
I mean, some of the deals, I mean, specifically Linderbaum, but these interior offensive linemen are getting out. Skaronski's probably like, yeah, man, look at all the money he's being spent on the interior of the offensive line right now.
No doubt. I mean, if he went to the open market, like, he'd get ridiculous money.
Yeah.
Yes, he would. Not Will Anderson money, but.
True.
Corey, did you hear from the great people of Duval last week after you took shots at their entire organization and fan base?
I did not, but the people of Orange called and said, we welcome.
That's good.
We welcome.
That's good. It's good to know that they're going to be received well there. Corey, thank you, sir. This time next week, we'll be reacting to an entire Titans NFL draft with you. It's very exciting.
You know, I've done like most people, a lot of mock, and I know there's people who don't love the top of this draft or whatever. I like this draft. I think all the way down to the 4th and 5th rounds, they're going to get good players that can help them immediately. At least I think that they should. To me, the big question is what happens at 3, and I fully expect the Cardinals to trade out of that spot. And so we'll see what happens.
We will. We are just a few days away from finding out. Corey Curtis with us every Monday morning at 8 o'clock here on the program. We will react to what Corey had to say. Take your thoughts on the Titans and the NFL draft coming up next. 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Take your thoughts at 615-737-1025, our phone number. Robbie and Rex Road presented by Green Ventures Landscaping. Get thicker grass, better color, fewer bare spots with turf application. Visit greenventureslandscaping.com. Joe, some news in the NFL. The San Francisco 49ers have gotten it done with Trent Williams, a 2-year, $50 million deal that includes $37 million fully guaranteed. So you're talking, obviously, one of the best offensive tackles of all time when you really go back and look at it. Get up there in the age. We wondered what was going to happen with Trent Williams, whether or not San Francisco and him would come to a deal. And they have. 2 years, $50 million, $37 million guaranteed. So there you go.
I like it for both sides. And there you go. There's another example. Offensive lineman, and you get there eventually. Different situation, of course, with Skaronski. But I think I think the Titans will probably – they'll probably figure that out. But, yeah, they're probably going to have to pay more than they want to for a guard.
Yep. Can I go to a mini Rob rant for a minute?
You can, always.
This is, this is basically an off-season tradition at this point. But I think Rappaport put this out there this morning, among others. Said the Steelers have not received word from Aaron Rodgers on his future, and there's no expectation of a final decision prior to the NFL draft. So minicamp begins today, and Will Howard is going to be QB1 at minicamp. Like, look, as somebody who's watched Aaron Rodgers a whole lot, there was a time where whatever he wanted to do, you just sucked it up and you waited for it because that's how good he was, right?
Yep.
It's like, yep, you just – whatever you want to do, man, we'll follow whatever you're doing out there, and that'll be what it is. He's not that anymore. Like, he's still good. Like, he had a good season for Pittsburgh last year, but he got him to the playoffs. That's great. But, like, if you're Pittsburgh, don't you just basically have to operate like he's not there? Like, you got, like, in the draft, don't you have to operate as if he's not there? I don't know how if you're giving legitimate consideration to playing still, wouldn't you want your team to know that you're back so they can operate that way in the draft and in free agency? I don't understand for somebody who wants to keep playing and apparently winning a Super Bowl, like if he won another Super Bowl, he'd probably retire after that. Like, he wants to win, and you're putting yourself every offseason at just such a disadvantage because you won't commit one way or the other as to what you're doing.
It's so ridiculous. Like, no one cares anymore, Aaron. But also, yeah, just set your own timeline, set your own deadline, and say you should be able to, after a few months, figure it out. Like, you can't – and to your point, so let's say the Steelers – you know, let's say the Steelers do whatever they do, you know, get somebody at whatever position at number 21 – you know, they don't go quarterback, or whatever. But you know, maybe like in the third round, maybe in part because of this uncertainty, they go like Garrett Nussmeier or something. Yeah. Whereas if Rodgers committed, you might be like, you know, we like Nussmeier. He might develop in it. But you know what? We use that third round pick to get somebody to help Aaron Rodgers this year. Well, now, exactly. It's like, so they don't know what to do. Yes. If you're the Steelers, you would like to address the future of the quarterback position in this draft, but you may not. It just may not make sense. And if you know he's playing, at least you can say, okay, let's like, this just isn't the year to do that. Now I'm going back to another, like, John Robinson mistake. That's a theme of today. But, like, you know, the Malik Willis pick when, like, you still were really good, you know.
It's a third-round pick.
Third-round pick. Like, you can really help your current football team and your current good quarterback, but instead they went Malik Willis. No, it's so idiotic. I mean, like, and it's like, I know everybody's like, well, he just loves the attention, and that may be true, but maybe it's just like, he's just weird, man. I don't know.
But it's every offseason, it's like, well, I think before the offseason got started, he was like, yeah, it won't be that long before I make a decision. It's like, well, it's April, man. Like, the draft is this week, right, and you still haven't made one.
Yeah, like, you are they. You could dictate what they do this week.
I don't understand how it gets this way every time in the offseason with him. And if you're Pittsburgh, it's like, I mean, let's say they drafted Ty Simpson. Like, Aaron Rodgers, your best option for next year if you want to make the playoffs.
At least with that, though, at least, like, okay, I mean, they know they're going to need, like, Ty Simpson will be a starter. That could work out well for them if they did that. But, yeah, if they don't do that, then it's like, that's where it could become a, well, gosh, we need to address the position this year. You know,
it's like, what are you waiting on? Like, Mike McCarthy has been set in stone as the coach there for months now at this point. Like, you know, most of the team coming back. You say you had a great time last year. And I know what's going to end up happening here. Another few weeks will go by, and you say he's coming back, and he's ready to play. It's like, well, why not just say that in February so you can operate that way?
Yeah, you're potentially harming the roster build that you need to have better success this year.
Very interesting to me, the way that that's all played out. And look, you know,
it's beyond tiresome.
Maybe Will Howard is really good, and he's going to be their quarterback of the future, and Pittsburgh already knows that. I have no idea.
I don't either. With Ohio State going into the playoff his last year, I was like, God, they made such a mistake. They should have got Cam Ward. They got Will Howard. They blew it. And then he just ripped through the entire playoffs. So
He did. We'll see what happens.
It helps to be on Ohio State.
It does.
That's another theme today.
It does.
It helps to be on Ohio State if you want to look good as a football player.
It does help to be.
And a coach, Matt Patricia. Genius.
I've watched a little Denzel Boston lately, going back to Corey's last segment. I like him. I like Denzel Boston. I mean, 6'4", 210, I believe, is what he's listed at.
He kind of reminds me of David Boston.
He kind of does. And a guy that, you know, depending on where you look, is kind of right there in that range, right around 35 on a lot of these mock drafts. Now, again, as we have to repeatedly point out, it's mock drafts, so the way the draft actually ends up playing out in mock drafts are going to be pretty different. But, you know, the last couple of years, it's kind of amazing. His stats from the last 2 years at Washington are almost the same. He had 63 catches for 834 yards and 9 touchdowns in 2024. And then this past year, he had 62 catches for 881 yards and 11 touchdowns. So kind of right there together the same way. But 14.2 per catch at Washington this past year. That's a Big Ten representative, Washington.
Yeah, that's right. Yep. Third team all Big Ten.
Yep.
And remember, he played with a really talented but true freshman. Or wait, was he a true freshman last year? Might have been. Maybe he's a redshirt freshman.
I can't remember.
Quarterback last year for Washington, young quarterback. So you keep that in mind too. No, he's got some promise.
There are some promising receiving options that are there at 35. Where you look at and you say, like Brazel, for instance. Brazel, I mean, Brazel's all over the map in terms of where people have him. Some people have him like in the 30s. Some people, like I think Brugler had him at 78th. That's a pretty wide gap. Yeah. So Brazel's kind of all over the map as to where people have him. You know, the Chris Bell kid out of Louisville is interesting. Like, pretty much everybody agrees he'd be a higher pick if he didn't just tear his ACL.
Yep.
But where's he going to end up? Boston, you know, and the Indiana guys that are going to be there at the end of the first round. So it's going to be really intriguing to see kind of what that group looks like. How many of those receivers are still on the board at 35 in terms of the Titans making a decision there?
Yeah. And the Indiana guys, in a different way, also sort of, like we talk about the Ohio State tax, there is also like a Cignetti thing with Indiana players, right?
Yeah.
Until we see Indiana players coming into the league and, you know, really doing well, it's like, is it just because this evil genius makes them all look good? Hey, we have a trade. Do we get to the, we need to get to this quickly, this trade idea. Giants get 4, Titans get 5, and Scataboo.
Yeah.
Boom.
Rex Road.
Ding,
sold.
Ding, ding. Done.
Scataboo, that would solve the Jeremiah Love problem, right? It's your boy.
It would.
And it would in the backfield.
It would solve the terrible conspiracy theorist takes in town problem, too. He'd fill that well. CTE, you're just being lazy.
615-737-1025.
Talk less, number. Cam. Run more, talk less.
615-737-1025. More coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. The Game Nashville Sports Network will have coverage of the NFL Draft live this Thursday from T-Line Nashville and on Friday from Chicago's home of Chicken and Waffles. Coverage begins at 6 o'clock on Thursday on 1025 The Game and Friday on Sports Talk 830 presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment, Pizona MD, Nelson's Greenbrier Distillery, Sealmaster, and Tri-State Water, Power, and Air Home Generators. So looking forward to that coming up later this week here on 1025 The Game. Taking your thoughts at 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Going back to Aaron Rodgers, Sean says, I'd love it if the NFL gives him the Tannehill treatment and retires him without batting an eye. This is from Sean.
Tannehill's still a viable possibility.
Didn't he actually retire? Like, wasn't there some random story that came out last year with him saying he retired in there? I think there was.
Is this my brain not working again?
I think that did happen.
It's supposed to just be short-term memory that's the issue. That would be a long-term memory issue. And yet I can tell you, like, about what happened in the bottom of the fifth inning in a Detroit Tigers game from 1984, if you like.
I mean,
Did he do that?
I think he did. I mean, look, I can go back to the
let's Google
the career earnings page. In the history of the National Football League. And Ryan Tannehill is 20th in league history. So he's doing fine.
That's pretty good. Okay. He did. I guess in some interview.
Yeah.
The ship has sailed.
There you go.
Sorry.
He's out.
All right. My bad. Never mind. Anyway.
Shout out to Tannehill.
Florida-Georgia line playing soon.
Titans going to bring Tannehill back. Any point? Recognize him? Like, hey, there's Ryan Tannehill. Everybody wave.
Well, to the point of, obviously, like, it would only work if he's, like, in another team or whatever. But, like, to the point of, like, the Preds and some of the overdoing it that they do with some of these guys who have a cup of coffee here, like, Ryan Tannehill should get some recognition.
I agree. Yeah.
I'm not saying he's, like, a jersey retirement guy.
I don't even
but he's
know
definitely
if he's,
like a
– I don't even know if he's necessarily, like, a Ring of Honor guy. But you can bring him back and, like, you know, hey, here's Ryan Tannehill. Everybody wave.
Yeah, probably not quite Ring of Honor, but absolutely the best quarterback play the Tennessee Titans have had, other than the peak of Steve McNair, and it compare. You can compare the two.
Yeah.
You can compare the best of Tannehill to the best of McNair. Different time, different game, but it compares.
It does. Different style, but it does compare.
Yeah, and yes, he had Derrick Henry. Steve McNair had good players too. Like, again, it's like great coaches. There's never been a great coach who had crappy players, yeah, ever.
We've brought up the idea throughout the show today of trading back. Like, how open would you be if you're a Titans fan to that? Schefter put it out there this morning. You know, the growing belief in league circles that Jeremiah Love could be an option for the Cardinals at number three, or the Cardinals could be looking to move back from number three. We saw Fowler over the weekend, Jeremy Fowler, say that people he's talked to believe that the Cardinals and the Titans are both open to moving out of spots number three and number four. So what do you make of kind of all that, the combination of, you know, multiple people talking about the Cardinals being willing to move out, and then Schefter putting it out there this morning that, hey, maybe Jeremiah Love at number three to the Arizona Cardinals?
Yeah, the Cardinals thing, it hasn't been brought up at all, and now it's brought up draft week. This just looks like one of those let's throw a curveball out there,
yep,
type things. They have Connor, who had a serious injury, but he's very good, and they signed Tyler Allgeier, who I've always really liked him. It's like, what are you gonna do? You're on the same team as Bijan Robinson, but I think he's good.
Jeremiah Love gonna play slot receiver,
maybe,
for the Cardinals.
Maybe that's what they're going to convert to receiver. Yeah, that one. I can't buy that one. I can't buy that one. If it were to happen, then, you know, potentially you could be looking at. Well, you could possibly be looking at. I mean, I think the Jets are going to take one of the edge guys, right?
I would assume so.
But
you always have to leave some room in the back of your mind that it's the New York Jets.
Yeah,
and you never really know what they could pull.
Yeah. And someone texted today, like, what about, you know, Ty Simpson to the Cards? That'd be something.
At three, that would be something.
That would be something.
I have seen plenty of Ty Simpson to the Cardinals at, like, you know, 30-something. Or them moving back up into the first round at the last part of the first round to get him so they have that fifth-year control.
Yeah.
I have seen zero of Ty Simpson at three to the Cardinals.
But they may not be the Jets, but they are the Arizona Cardinals.
They are the Arizona Cardinals.
So yeah, there is that, too. Yeah. Obviously, you wouldn't love to lose Love, but you would love to have the one of those top edge guys, I think, and probably make it easy for you. Where are we? We have talked about the draft a lot today, and we have not once mentioned the name Sonny Styles.
That's true.
Not one mention. And yet, I, you know, play out, especially like this crazy Love thing. Crazy Love. And, you know, one of the edge guys gone. And maybe, you know, Arvel Reese and Sonny Styles. And I think there are teams, and Bruce Feldman has a lot today on that. He has more on all this stuff from scouts and coaches and stuff. I think there are people who are a little bit like, man, Arvel Reese, like, love the potential. Just like Corey said earlier, like, I still really at that spot want a little bit more proof of concept, whereas a Sonny Styles, not the same position, not the high value position, but there's no question in terms of the production, and also his testing was actually off the charts in every way for you know, an off ball linebacker.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think he's a possibility. I do think this. I think if the Titans, if Bailey or Reese were there at number four, I think a lot of the fan base would say, well, yeah, I mean, I understand it. It's an edge rusher that you haven't had a first-round edge rusher since 2010. And, I mean, the belief is from both of those guys. And, look, you know, I mentioned it. We talked to Mike Herndon a couple weeks ago. He loves all three of them. He loves Bain. He loves Bailey. He loves Reese. So, like, you know, depending on what your evaluation is, it's not going to be very hard to talk Titans fans into edge rusher if that's your pick. I do think, and one of my Titans buddies brought this up to me this week, and I hadn't really thought about it this way. Like, if they go Styles at number four, it could be a great player. Testing's great. Everything you just mentioned, I agree with. He is an off-the-ball linebacker, And do you start to get the perception, if you're a Titans fan, not that you avoid drafting it this way if you're the Titans front office, but do you get the perception of, all right, well, this coach, like, all he cares about is defense. Defense, defense, defense. And we're going, you know, beyond premium position into an off-ball linebacker at number four. And then you look at what they've done to help your quarterback directly on offense throughout the offseason, and it's very limited. Like, do you start to look at it and say, hey, man, we got to start looking at the other side of the ball a little bit better than we are right now?
No, that'll, people will say that a lot. And I will say, hey, Cam, we need 12 points today. 12 points. That's four field goals, and we're going to win. Because we're holding them to 10.
Can you please
every
like
week
18?
Yeah, I know. How about, yeah, how about 19. Just for fun? Can we sniff 20 just for fun?
That'd be nice.
Yeah. No, you're right, though. That's, I mean, people will say that. And look, Robert Saleh, he is. He's a defensive guy. I'm sure that as fast as he can build a potentially great defense, he's all for it. I am too. You know, Sonny said, just like the Jeremy Love conversation to me, it's like, okay, well, he better be, I mean, no one's Fred Warner, but he better be that. If he is that, then the complaining will end. Now, we'll still have you done enough on the offense? You certainly hope that the next thing would be a receiver, right?
Yeah.
You would certainly hope that, like, a 35. And then that would quiet a little. You'd have a day of people screaming, and then on Friday you deal with that, and then you balance it out a little bit.
I don't need you going off ball linebacker at number four,
safety,
and then addressing receiver like the fifth round. It's like, oh, great, that'll help.
Yeah, if the Titans come away from this draft with like a fifth round receiver, so it is going to be like,
oh boy,
womp womp.
Calvin Ridley better
big
stay
time.
Healthy.
Big time womp womp on that one.
615-737-1025, our phone number. More of your thoughts to get to. Plus, we will hear later today from the Nashville Predators, both the players and Barry Trotz and Andrew Burnett. What are we most interested to learn today? We will get into that. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Final segment of the day, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Jake Lyman getting Rex Road fired up during the break.
Well, first of all, we're both fired up about the Detroit Tigers. That's, let's see, 2 out of 3 in Boston. So what does that make? 8 out of 9? 8 out of 9. Dylan Dingler, young star. Kevin McGonigal, oh my God. I mean, put him in Cooperstown right now. We're excited. But also, apparently some GM in a Schefter story said that Chris Brazel has more maturity issues than George Pickens.
I'll read the line.
It says, what?
Many teams say that Tennessee's Chris Brazel has elite talents that rival Jordan Tyson. One general manager even compared him with George Pickens. But there are even more questions about his maturity. That's all he says.
Okay. Oh,
that's
beginning
and end of it.
So we're sure that means more than Pickens.
Oh, I don't know. I'm just – that's the way it reads.
All right, I got to read this.
Many
now.
Teams
this
say Chris Brazel has elite talents. One general manager compares him with George Pickens, but there are more questions about his maturity. Maybe it's comparing his maturity to Jordan Tyson. I don't know.
Okay. Well, that would
be – if you're comparing it to George Pickens, if he's got more maturity issues than George Pickens, that could be a problem.
This may be a really poorly constructed sentence. This is freaking me out. Because, like, there's no way. When some of these guys have been in Knoxville, you hear different things.
Sure.
You know, certainly you heard plenty about
James Pierce.
About Pierce and stuff like that. I never heard everything about Brazel. Okay, let me read this. This is really good. This is good radio. Me fumbling around and stumbling over a sentence to try to, like, you know, see if I can understand the sentence. Okay, so this is in this thing, right?
Yes, it's in the wide receivers, under the subhead of the overheard on this interesting wide receiver class.
So you got Brown, likely to become a Patriot. That's an interesting one from today. A lot of love for Love. We got the Browns. Oh, so it's all the way down.
It's all the way down.
Let's see if I can get to this before the show ends. This is really, again.
It's a large mailbag from
Okay. Here we go. No, it's overheard on this interesting wide receiver class. That's what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Okay, other teams express concerns. Many teams say Brazel has elite talents that rival Tyson. One general manager even compared with George Pickens, but there are even more questions about his maturity. I don't think that's about Pickens. So it's an M-, okay? Yeah. But then again, maybe
I don't know what
he's
talking about.
I don't. But there are even more questions about his maturity, even more than Pickens. Schefter, learn how to write. I mean, this is so confusing,
man. I
walk
away from it having no idea what he's talking about or who he's comparing
to. Do you understand, like, if that is true, he's going in the seventh round. Yeah. He's not that talented. He's good. But no, this sentence is terribly constructed with two M dashes, and it makes no sense. And so you need to answer for this, Schefter.
Get Scottie Scheffler on the phone. You've been my NFL insider.
I'm switching to Scottie Scheffler. He can probably at least write a sentence. Seriously. That
raises more questions to me than anything else reading that from Schefter. I have no idea what he's trying to say there.
How could you write the sentence like that? If you're going to say, if it is more than Pickens, then you must say even more questions about his maturity than Pickens. But with the M dash, like you said, he could be talking about Tyson.
I have no idea who he's talking about.
Elite talent rival Tyson, but even more questions. Are there questions about Tyson's maturity?
The questions I've heard about Tyson is, can he stay healthy for more than 6 seconds and with in the NFL?
Right. And with Braslett's, well, you know, choice routes in the Tennessee offense. So now all of a sudden, Schefter's like, oh, the Cardinals are taking Jeremiah Love and Chris Braslett's Antonio Brown. Oh, great. Thanks, Adam. God.
It's a good way to close out the show.
Go tweet something that an agent told you to tweet.
And Jeremiah Love going from not top five to top three from Schefter in about a week and a half.
A lot of stuff going
something
on
like that.
That's a good point, too.
A lot of stuff going on in this Schefter piece today.
Jeez, man.
Joe, we are going to hear from the Nashville Predators today, the players speaking tonight, and then that will be followed by Brunette and Barry Trotz. What's kind of most interesting to you as we head into this today? I'm very intrigued to see what number 81 might say today, and Jonathan Marchessault.
Yeah. Just let me set something to flame. Is Florida Georgia Line playing? I got my lighter ready. If they are, let me just set this place on fire. a lot of Florida Georgia Line today, and weed. Happy 420, everybody.
Yeah.
No, that is interesting. Certainly, it's so weird because, like, Trotz is done. So it's like, I hope the new guy does really well.
Right.
I mean, I'd like to hear from him, though, on, like, the prospects, on Martin and stuff like that. I think that's interesting.
Well, I think a lot of it is so, even from the player standpoint, like, let me know who you hire as general manager. And then you kind of go from there as to figure out, you know, what the plan is and all that. But I do think, like, you know, Stamkos had some interesting comments last week that we talked about of, you know, like, he came here to play in the playoffs, and now there's 2 years where they haven't made it, and how does that affect the way that he kind of views things, even independent of the GM search? And then I've said many times, you know, Marchessault was pretty interesting at the end of last year when he started talking about the coaching and all that. We talked about that for a while. I mean, this is 2 years where it just really hasn't worked with Jonathan Marchessault, and I you know, I don't know what he's going to say today. He may not say anything today, you know. He may be just as bland as possible. But, you know, with him, there's always a chance that he could just be like, yeah, it's time to go. It's time for me to be somewhere else out there.
I'm counting on you to get him going.
I'm going to try.
Get it.
See how it goes. He does have a no move.
That'll be in the weight room, right? Get him over there by the bench press and, you know, see if you can get him cooking.
He's got no move. He worked hard for it, as we discovered a few weeks ago.
That's right. And then you got Andrew Brunette, who is definitely going to enjoy all the questions.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure he'll love it
today. You know, after we asked him last week. We were just getting him warmed up. Hey, get ready for this next week, Andrew. You got more of this coming.
I mean, you got to know what's coming tonight. You got to know that it's coming.
And again, what's he going to say? You know, what's he going to say?
I mean, so much of this is, let me know when the general manager gets hired, and then we'll figure out all this other stuff. You know?
Right, and then we'll have another press conference.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, that's going to do it for us today. We will be back at 6 a.m. to discuss it all tomorrow. Appreciate your participation today on the program. Next Man Up with Jake Lyman is coming up next. You're listening to 102.5 The Game.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woo-hoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.